I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. We've made this sort of rape week on the Jeff Booth Show. We'll be talking about Jeffrey Epstein on Sunday, and then on Wednesday, we talked in the big picture about just our attitudes about rape in general and how in the United States we're kind of soft on rape. On Wednesday, much to my surprise, much of the focus was on universities. I didn't know that I would have so much information and so many horror stories to tell. And it's almost always around protecting their athletic departments. We have some shocking problems with our universities. But as probably everyone who pays attention to the news knows, the real problem is in churches. I've explained over and over on this show how misogyny and male dominance and religious faith, when combined together, create a toxic stew that is very, very likely to lead to sexual assault. And it does. And I'm going to talk about things that happened just over the summer. There's a lot of stories, so we're going to go quick. Oklahoma youth pastor, he was also a baseball coach, charged with raping an underage girl, but there were other cases. His name was Justin White. His church was Sparrow Baptist Church, and as we know, the Baptists have some issues with homosexuality and gay marriage and the subordination of women. And that's kind of the thing we see in almost all of these cases, is that they're from churches where they have anti-gay attitudes, anti-sex attitudes, anti-women attitudes, and they become the hotbeds for rape. And it isn't just the Catholic Church. We all know about what the Catholic Church has done, but it's tons of other churches that have similarly disrespectful ideas about women. Another youth pastor at Clearwater Community Church in Florida sexually touched a 15-year-old girl. This one's kind of unusual in that the victimizer was Heather Matsudzik. She's a 32-year-old youth pastor at Clearwater Community Church. She apparently didn't read the church's bylaws. And in their bylaws, they say that we believe that any form of sexual immorality, including adultery, fornication, homosexual behavior, bisexual contact, bestiality, incest, and use of pornography is sinful and offensive to God. Oh wait, she did buy into all of that because she was the owner of a Chick-fil-A. I know we shouldn't judge someone by appearances, but my goodness, the picture of Edward Samuel Thompson is just frightening. He looks like someone you wouldn't want anywhere near your children, but he led the music program at Christ Fellowship Church. And when he was doing that, he was charged with accessing and distributing child pornography. And now he's being charged with abusing a child over a period of 6 years. It's a small, non-denominational church in Eugene, Oregon. I looked at their Facebook page, couldn't really figure out what their beliefs were, but in light of this story, maybe fewer pictures of young children in bathing suits on the Facebook would be good? I mean, there's a lot of them. And there's the notorious anti-gay pastor of an Alabama church. He was just arrested for confessing to his congregation that he sexually abused boys. That was at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're going to hear about a lot more Baptist churches. He has been arrested on suspicion of sexual abuse of children. He confessed to molesting 4 boys. And after confessing, John Martin resigned from Lighthouse Baptist Church, which is profoundly anti-gay. Authorities suspect there are far more victims than just the 4 he admitted to. But, you know, it's rare for these guys to actually confess. So good on him for doing at least that much. Now, along with being anti-gay, they tend to be anti-abortion, as was the case with Southern Baptist minister and father of 7, Stephen Bratton. He's the pastor of Grace Family Baptist Church in Texas. He spoke out on behalf of a proposed law that would give the death penalty to women who had abortions. A month after making those public statements, he was accused and arrested for abusing a child who was a member of his family, some kind of relative, from 2013 to 2015. And that escalated over time to sexual intercourse multiple times a day. What he lacked in variety, he made up for in frequency. A pattern we see is that these guys get away with it over long periods of time. Oh, and to be fair, a few women, but mostly guys. And it's almost always because their faith community is very rigid, It has a very hierarchical structure where men are in charge and their word is law and women are subordinated. They just don't tend to come forward. They're afraid. Now, I'm not saying that Southern Baptists encourage rape of children. When one of these guys does get exposed, they do tend to kick them out of the Southern Baptist Church. In 2009, Irby Valdez was a middle school principal from Texas, and he was arrested for having sex with a 17-year-old girl. As was so often the case, he was given a slap on the wrist. And we'll talk more about that on the next Wednesday's Big Picture show when we talk about judges and rape. But anyway, a couple of years ago, Valdez began New Spirit Baptist Church because, you know, what's better than a hunting ground than a high school than a church? And maybe the Catholic Church should take notice of this. They have a rule that says, membership rules specify that no church may be approved for affiliation or continuing affiliation if the church's senior pastor has been convicted of the sexual abuse of a child, or if the church is found by the Credentials Committee to be indifferent in their response to child sexual abuse. So, the Baptists aren't as intrinsically problematic, I think, as the Catholic Church, but still, it is a culture and an environment that is ripe for the sexual abuse of women and children. Case in point, Southern Baptist leader Paige Patterson, well, former leader, he was fired from a Texas seminary last year for mishandling sex abuse allegations. Now he's being sued. And Patterson himself didn't rape anyone. But the former student of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary went to him for help, and he threatened and humiliated her when she reported being stalked and raped on multiple occasions by a fellow student. Patterson was a major figure in the Baptist Church, a former convention president. So what happens is they had a student and a guy who was working as a plumber for the school, and he had a criminal history, but they didn't perform a background check on him. The guy took a shine to the victim, pursued her relentlessly, left notes on her car, claimed he would harm himself unless she dated him, and that culminated in a rape at gunpoint in October 2014. And the assaults continued, and he threatened to murder her if she reported what was happening. Patterson helped make that threat even worse. And remember, in these religious institutions, women feel tremendous guilt and shame about sex, so when they're raped, it's even more traumatizing, and they're even less prepared to know what to do about it. But she finally went to Patterson and had a meeting with him and a group of men, and Patterson asked her really humiliating questions. He wanted to know if the men had ejaculated, and if she had her monthly period. And when she said that she felt like damaged goods because of the assault, Patterson replied that it was a good thing she had been raped, because the right man wouldn't care if she was a virgin or not. Which, interestingly enough, isn't really what they teach you in Baptist churches. Patterson did report the situation to the police, but he sent out an email to seminary staff members stating that, "I have to break her down." And then he accused her of lying about the assaults and the firearms, knowing full well that the police had already raided the guy's home and found the firearms. Then he threatened to unleash lawyers on her. She did leave the school after that. But part of her complaint, and what makes these kinds of things worse for the victims, is that the school had no education for the students about stalking or dating violence or sexual harassment or sexual assault. And it claims that that contributed to a culture of hostility towards women and created conditions that substantially increased Rose's chances of being assaulted. And yes, that's true. That's what happens in these kinds of environments. And it's not just true there. It's true across religious campuses all over the country. They have an environment that does not keep women safe. They have a long history of not listening to women. They do have a bigger history of sexual discrimination, and many of them claim that their campuses are safer, but that's not the case. The truth is that they have a lower likelihood of women willing to report sexual assault, because it's not an environment that's really going to listen to them and protect them. Purity culture and sexual assault go hand in hand, because it creates an environment in which women are afraid to report what's been done to them and feel tremendous shame and guilt. I could do a whole segment just on this topic, and at some point probably will. It is a serious and growing problem.